Hello and welcome, glory to God, for He is good. We have another day on one of the best thing ever, the Word of God, which is so good, alive and powerful, quick and active, and able to transform your heart, your life, and allow you to experience Him like no other. We praise God because He never lets us down, because He is awesome. He's Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, and He has such wonderful things prepared for each one of us. And so let's get started and get right into it as we are talking about staying strong as believers, staying strong in the Lord, staying strong, and wake up and be called to a renewed life in Christ. And today we're looking into Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. And it is revolutionary because this is the Word of God, the words of Jesus speaking directly to us. Revelation is apocalypse. That means apocalyptic. That means it is speaking of the future, but also an encouragement to the churches this day and age as well. And so let's read right into Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. It says, to the angels of the church in, well, actually that was Friday. Sorry about that. And then today is Saturday. And today we're actually talking about Christ, our life and our perfecter. It says, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And I know your deeds, and you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, they dressed in white, for they are worthy. For one who is victorious, you are victorious. Like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and His angels. And whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit of God says. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace, for your word, for your mercy. We thank you for recognizing who we are in you and also loving us even when we don't deserve it. Father God, you are our life. You are perfection. You are never lacking, and you love each one of us. And you promised us so many good things in this passage. So may we receive from you, may we understand you, and be able to draw from this passage to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And so let me ask you, have you ever felt so alive on the outside, but felt dead on the inside? You see, the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I've been excited about each day, enthusiastic with energy, just coming from a place where I know I want to bring the best to you guys so that you can receive from the Word of God, so that you can be sold out for God like myself. But then, despite that, I only got like 3, 4, 5 hours of sleep every night. And with that, I was like on Holy Spirit battery, just going and going and going and trying my best. But praise God, the last 2 days, I've been able to rest a little more and then find my ground, my footing on what I should be doing and being more disciplined with that. So praise the Lord. But have you ever felt alive on the outside but dead on the inside? I know a lot of people, they're feeling empty. They're feeling lost on the inside. Deep down inside, they feel like they are missing something. Even though they have great success in front of them, and they feel like everything is going well. They got the wealth, they got the money, they got the car, they got health, they got wealth, they got everything. Lots of things going well for them. But on the inside, they're feeling unsatisfied, feeling like there's something missing. And we know what is missing. That Jesus is missing. Jesus is the one that can fill that void. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, Jesus, He addresses this church, a church which had a reputation of being alive, being lively, spreading the word of God, being strong in God, but they were spiritually inside, they were dead. And His message was a wake-up call, urging them to return to life and to be ready for Jesus' return because He is returning one day. So here's the big question. Is your faith truly alive, or are you simply maintaining appearance? This passage really challenges you to wake up strengthen what remains, and live a life that is vibrant and faithful to Christ alone. Welcome, Mia Smiles. Welcome, Sunflower Power. Welcome, Clarence. So glad you guys are here. Welcome, Warden. Yeah, glory to God. Sylvia. Wonderful, wonderful. And so, looking at this passage, we can see this is the angel to the church of Sardis. And Sardis was a wealthy and prominent city, well known for their luxury, for their Lambo. Actually, they don't have Lambo during that time. But for their great things that they had, and they had a history of wonderful, prosperous city. And they were overconfident. And twice in its history, Sardis has been captured and conquered because the citizens became complacent and failed to guard their city. And similarly, the church of Sardis was spiritually complacent, though they appeared to be alive with their faith, but their faith was hollow. And then Jesus' message to them serves both as a warning and an invitation to renewal, urging them to wake up and live as true witnesses of God. And so, we're going to jump into our first point. Number one, in verse one, the reputation without reality. And so, it says, I know the deeds, your deeds, what you've done, and you having a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. You're alive, but you're dead. And Jesus, he introduces him as one who holds the seven spirits of God, representing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and the seven stars of the churches under his authority. And this imagery reminds you that Jesus is sovereign over the churches and sovereign over all things. And the source of its life is through the Holy Spirit himself. And so Jesus, immediately, he confronts the church saying, you have a reputation of being alive, great, but you are spiritually dead. So Sardis church appeared to be active, successful outwardly, but inwardly, they were spiritually lifeless. Their relationship with Jesus was not there. The deeds were good, but it was hollow. It was lacking the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so this should remind you that it is not possible to look good on the outside, but, I mean, and then this reminds us that it is possible to look good on the outside, but be spiritually dead on the inside. So, just because it looks great on the outside, but inside, it's hurting. Inside, it's in pain. And some people, a lot of people this day and age, they put on a face that looks great. Everything is going well. But in reality, they have something begrudgingly inside. Something heavy, some burden that's heavy on them. And so Jesus, he's not impressed on the outward appearance, on your reputation. He cares more about your heart, the reality of your relationship with him, your mind, your heart, and he wants your whole heart. If you are great on the outside, but your heart is not fully devoted to him, then you know that there's something missing and you're not going to be satisfied. Just think about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, where Jesus called them brainwashed tombs. They looked righteous on the outside, but they were filled full of hypocrisy and sin. The outward appearance means nothing if the heart is not alive in God. I said the outward appearance means nothing if the heart is not alive to God. And so let me ask you, are you focused on your reputation, on pleasing others, on making people happy? Or are you focused on your relationship with Christ and pleasing God before pleasing man? A lot of people are trying to please man before pleasing God. A lot of people are ignoring God altogether. But Jesus, he sees past that appearance and looks and sees the true condition of your heart. And that's why we absolutely need to look at our heart and look and focus on things above and not on earthly things. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, people looked at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Why would you deny the power of the Holy Spirit inside you that can guide you, that can lead you, that can empower you? Why do you do this just to look good? Now, the things I do, yes, I try to make it the best, look like the best, but I know that all the words that come out my mouth is not my own words, but God's word. And the word of God may not sound so good to some people, but to those who believe in Jesus, it is sweet like honey. It is rich like gold and silver. It is the best of the best. It is something that we long for and crave for each and every day. And so, be honest about your spiritual condition. Ask God to reveal areas where your faith may be shallow or lifeless. Be honest. If you think that you're all good, you're prideful, and you're like, I am the best, and I got everything together because of my stuff, and then it looks good on the outside. Well, let me tell you, if your heart condition is not correct, then you're not going to feel truly satisfied. You're going to feel empty and broken. And that's why we address the heart posture first. Before we address appearance, we address inside first and let that inside transform the outside. When you work on your relationship with Jesus, you will experience yourself having more time on hand. You'll experience yourself having more protection, having more guidance, having more direction by the grace of God. But you have to be honest with your spiritual condition. Whether you're praying to Him every day, reading the Word of God, and following Him and obeying Him and building His kingdom, what you do, it matters. But what's more important is the heart. And so if you do this out of good intention to glorify God, hallelujah, glory to God, I commend you, great job, keep up the good work. But if you're just doing this to make people like you, make people buy into you, maybe to sell something, then you gotta hold it and just check your heart and transform it and do it for God instead. In all things, everything that you do it for God. When you run, when you exercise, you do it for God and not for yourself. Because when you do it unto Him and you're faithful with little, He's able to bless you with more. So be honest with your spiritual condition and prioritize reality over reputation. Focus on your relationship with Christ first and not on what other people think of you. And when you focus on your relationship with Christ and your relationship with Him grows stronger and stronger, I guarantee you, those who love Christ will also accept you as well. They will not think ill of you. They will actually forgive you and bring them into their community. And you will experience a love of family that you can never experience anywhere else. But if you continue trying to please other people, their standards, their expectations, it just keeps going higher and higher, and you just keep chasing expectations, and you feel lost, you feel broken, you feel depressed because you're never able to measure up to other people's expectations. But by the grace of God, His expectations are expectations that we are able to receive because it is a grace beyond measure. It is a love that we cannot comprehend, the agape love, the unconditional love, where He gives you forgiveness freely. He doesn't say you need to do anything. He doesn't say you are saved by your works. No, you're not saved by your work. You're saved by grace in Christ, faith in Him alone. You're saved by the cross of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, because Him coming from heaven to earth, He unlocked the door into heaven for you so that you can have an eternal relationship with Him so that you don't have to experience that second death. Amen, Eva Bombies. Thank you for the hanging lights times 10. Hello, Dr. Hazel Bunny. Amen. And so it's not what we can do. Everything we can do cannot measure up. Sin is just too big, for the wages of sin, the punishment, the consequence of sin is death. And we all deserve that death. But God, in His faithfulness, in His grace, in His love, in His mercy, He gave you eternal life. He gave you hope. He gave you salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And you might ask, why? It's because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's why, Michael, we are here to see how great, how amazing he is. He is my chain breaker, amen. He's your chain breaker. And then, that's why we're to cling on to him, not to the world. We're not to be slaves to the world any longer. Jesus, he offers you new life to those who acknowledge your need for him each and every day. Amen. And then number two, wake up and strengthen what remains, found in verse 2-3. It says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. So Jesus, he's saying to the church, he's calling them to wake up with the exclamation mark. It's a command. It's to wake up from their spiritual complacency, from being spiritually dead. Like a dying fire, their faith was smoldering and needed to be rekindled, lit on fire to burn brighter. And their deeds were unfinished and lacked spiritual vitality. And there was still hope. They were not dead. There's still hope. And they could still strengthen what remained and return to full faithfulness in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so this reminds us, the spiritual renewal that is possible in Christ, even those who have drifted far from God, it's not too late. You're still alive. You can do it. You should do it right now and say, Lord, I need you and I run after you. I chase after you. I want you each and every day. Because you have to do it now. Because you might say tomorrow or after tomorrow. But tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow, you don't know if you'll wake up. Tomorrow, if you don't know if Jesus will return. It's time to wake up. Time to wake up from that sleep. And to be aware of what's going on. And so this is so important that you wake up, repent, and find revival for what's left before it's too late. Amen. In verse 3, we also see, it says, remember, therefore, to remember in your mind what you have received and heard, hold fast to it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. And you will not know at what time I will come to you. You know what this means? The return of Jesus. He is coming. A second return coming of Jesus. And he's coming down from the clouds with the angels on a chariot and with the horns being blown. The whole earth will be shaken and every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He's coming. But we do not know when. And that's why there should be a sense of urgency that we hold fast, we repent, that we remember of what we heard, what we experienced in Christ. Amen. So Jesus, he gives you this clear steps for renewal, to remember what you received and heard, how Jesus came and died on the cross, but he did not stay dead because he's the resurrection and the life. And he rose from the dead, defeating sin and death. And then ascended to heaven, giving you eternal life, giving you salvation and hope, giving you a way out of that sin and brokenness. Amen. And so this reflects on the gospel, the truth of God's word in which we look at each and every day. And also remembering the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. How he is our Lord, our Savior. How he is our healer, protector, provider. How he's given us more than we can ever expect and understand. And more than we can imagine, dream of, hope for. This is our God. He's just so amazing. Welcome, hola, Espanol. Amen. So hold fast to it. Cling on to the cross. Cling on to Jesus. Don't let him go. And return to the truth. And hold on to it with conviction and obedience to the very end of your day. You gotta repent. You got to turn away from complacency and sin. You got to flee from that sin and recommit, rededicate your life to living for Jesus each and every day. Because that is the best life that you can ever have. To worship him. To have a hope of eternal life. knowing that you're not going to go into eternal desolation, eternal burning fire. You are not going to go into eternal suffering because God so loves you, He gave you everlasting life. And so Jesus, He's warning them that if they fail, if you fail to wake up, then He will come like a thief, suddenly and unexpectedly. Not saying He's a thief. He's saying like a thief. And a thief comes to steal stuff. Not being made known, He's not going to come and say, I'm a thief, I'm going to steal your stuff. No, He doesn't. He comes and tries to slip in, and then at times that are unexpected, and then, boosh, takes the stuff. But what's going to happen is, there's going to be judgment. Judgment day is coming. And that judgment day is when all believers will be rounded up with Christ and ascended to heaven and protected by Him, while all those who rejected Him, all those who do not believe in Him, all those who are not walking a relationship with Him, they end up in eternity, in separation from Him. And you have the opportunity today to accept Jesus as your Savior. You have the opportunity today to share this word with a friend. You have an opportunity today to save one more soul. You do. And that, you got to share the word of God. You got to share what He's done in your life. You got to share your story. Yes, Jesus is the only way. So this really teaches us that spiritual complacency is dangerous and it requires immediate action. Jesus, He calls you to respond with a sense of urgency. Remember the truth of His word and repenting of anything that is hindering your walk with Him. You see, my walk with Him, I long to serve Him. I long to win more souls. But then, of course, I have distractions too. And I have different things that may be holding me back. And those things used to be gaming. But by the grace of God, He helped me cut it out. I still fall for some entertainment like watching NBA, watching basketball, watching some Netflix. But of course, I should not let those things control my life. Instead, I should stay in control of my life by rejecting the entertainment of the world, because there should be a sense of urgency to save more souls. So, remember the truth of His word. Repent of anything that's hindering your walk with Him. Twice in history, Sardis was conquered because the citizens failed to stay vigilant. Now, it's a city, it's a church, right? The city was conquered. But just think about your body as a city. You are responsible for your body, for your mind, for your heart. And you too must stay vigilant. Because if you fail to do so, then you will more likely be conquered, dominated, sucked into a trap. And you don't want to end up in that situation. And so Sardis, they thought their city was secured, but they neglected to guard it properly. And similarly, spiritual complacency leaves you vulnerable to sin and judgment. And Jesus is calling you to wake up today and calling you to vigilance, to being alert, to standing firm in the word each and every day. And that's why you guys are here with me today, to receive the word of God, to receive encouragement, to be pushed towards the right direction, so that you may be secured in Him. You see, we can never be secured. We always must fight, because this fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual things, the devil, the demons, spiritual matters, principalities. But the good news is that you're not alone, because Jesus, He is in you, and Jesus, He is victorious, and Jesus, He guards you completely when you have a relationship with Him. He is the bread of life, and He'll give you that life. And so don't be vulnerable to those sin and judgment. No, be alert. Know what you're doing. And then wake up. Be vigilant. So I'm asking you, are you awake to the reality of your spiritual condition? Or have you grown complacent? Jesus is calling you to act now before it is too late. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. It says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ, he will shine on you." Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, "We must pay the most careful attention so that we do not drift away." So that we do not drift away from our God, our Lord, our Savior. We do not drift away from Him who cares for us, who protects us. And so this is a wake-up call, God's wake-up call to each one of you, asking the Holy Spirit to rekindle that passion, that diligence, that discipline, that consistency. Awaken your heart in Him to wake up and not stay dead, not stay sleeping, but be active. You see, if you're sleeping, then you're inactive. But when you're waking up, well, you woke up, then you will diligently do His deeds and have a relationship with Him. It's so important that you wake up and return to His Word. Remember the truth of the gospel, to hold fast to it, to allow the Word of God to permeate your soul, to transform you, to encourage you. If you don't remember it, that means you got to read it over and over again. You got to meditate on it day and night. And likewise, I've been reading this every day. I've been reading this all day and studying it before I present it to you guys so that I would know what the Word of God is, so that I would have second thoughts, third thoughts, and clear study on the Word of God. So Jesus, He's offering renewal to you who respond to the wake-up call. And that's the good news, that you have renewal. Amen. And number three, walking worthy in white, found in verse 4 to 5. Despite the overall spiritual decline in Sardis, there were still some who were faithful, and they did not soil their clothes with sin and compromise. Jesus, He promises these faithful ones who were pure and holy and walking in Him in white, symbolizing victory, symbolizing purity and eternal life. Wow, glory to God that we're able to be here, to walk in His presence. We're able to walk in full robes of white, which represent that we are pure in Him, represents that we have victory in Christ and have eternal life, eternal security, eternal presence of God in our life. And that's just so amazing. I can't wait to go to heaven to be with Him. To live, Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so this reminds you that even in the midst of a dead or compromised church, faithfulness to Christ is still possible. Jesus noticed that the rewards for those who are remaining pure and steadfast to their devotion to Him, He notices your faithfulness and He will reward you. He will bring you even better things than you can imagine. In verse 5, it says, "One who is victorious," and you are victorious. So just say, "I am victorious. I am victorious." So one who is victorious, like them, will be dressed in white. And He promises that I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life. And the book of life, that means you're going to have eternal life with Him. But will acknowledge that name. Your name, Mia Smiles, Sunflower Wesley. Your name, Pastor Josh, will be acknowledged before my Father and His angels. He will be your interceder. He will be the one that acknowledges and says, "Mia, Sunflower, Pastor Josh, Dr. Hazel Bunny, Master Majesty, all of you guys are my people. You're my tribe. And I will carry you and I will say, you are here to come into the family of God. Welcome to heaven." So Jesus, He's extending the promise of white garments and eternal life to everyone who overcomes and remains faithful to Him to the very end. And He reassures you that your name will never be blotted out from the book of life, a record of those who belong to God. That means you belong to God. You are chosen people. You are royal priesthood. You are prized possessions. You are Christ's ambassadors. You are his messengers. You are his children. You are his sons and daughters. And he loves you so much. And so, Jesus, he personally petitioned for you and acknowledged you before the Heavenly Father and his angels. And this teaches you that the faithfulness of Christ leads you towards eternal rewards. Rewards that can never be taken away from you, that can never rush or be stolen. No matter how difficult the battle, you who persevere will share in the victory of Christ and enjoy this eternal fellowship with him. And that's the good news, guys. And that's why my faith in him is even stronger. And that's why I have no worries. I know he will provide for me. I know he will protect me. I know he will give me everything that I need and even more beyond that, which he's done for me and he's going to do for you. And he is doing for you. And that's why you can continue walking faithfully in his name. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus tells the disciples to rejoice that your names are written in heaven, just as Jesus, he promised this eternal reward to those who follow him. He assures you that your faithfulness will be rewarded with everlasting joy, unspeakable peace, love, fellowship with him. So are you walking in purity, in righteousness, in holiness, and victory of Christ in your life? Are you compromising your faith? Jesus, he promises eternal life to you who remain faithful. So stay strong. Remain in him, and he will remain in you. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Abide in him, and he will abide in you. So take action. Chase after him. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." It's white. Now you have been tainted by sin, but because of the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, he washed you white as snow. And that's the good news. You no longer have your past holding you down. You are a new creation in Christ, and you are total recreation in Christ. That means you're walking in the ways that he wills, in his plans, in the blueprint for you to have the best life that you can have. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Whoever acknowledges me, Jesus, before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Such a great promise, right? And so we are here acknowledging Jesus by typing it, "Amen," by typing, "Jesus is the way, the truth, the life," by typing and responding. You are declaring him, acknowledging him before others, and so will God, Jesus, acknowledge you before the Heavenly Father. That is the good news. And so we absolutely must be rooted in Christ. Walk in purity and faithfulness. Avoid compromise and live in obedience, complete obedience to Christ. And then when things are tough, you still fix your eyes on the future, on eternity, remembering that your future is secured in him. Your future is stable. Your future is in his presence. So remember the eternal rewards he has for you, that Jesus, he promises to you that you will overcome, that you will reap the benefits, the wonders, the greatness, the promises of God. Wow, so good. Why don't we continue preaching the word of God? Why don't we continue speaking about the good news that he's given to us? Eternal life. So many great things. Amen. We wear his armor. We plant his seeds daily. We declare Jesus as King, as Lord and Savior. And when you do that, Jesus will acknowledge you. And he will reward his faithful followers. And your name is secured in the book of life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And number four, to listen to the Spirit's voice, found in verse 6. It says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So Jesus, he's concluding this letter with a call to listen to the Spirit. And this message is not just for Sardis, but it's for all believers, each one of us. And we must be attentive to the Spirit's conviction, to him disciplining us, leading us, encouragement, call to action in your life. And this teaches you that spiritual renewal, it begins with listening to God. And if you don't know how to listen to God, This is how you do it. You pray to him each and every day. You read the word of God. You tune in to the live stream. You listen. I'm speaking it for you guys so you guys don't have to go and discover it for yourself. But it's great if you guys are self-studiers. But I'm trying to pour into you guys the best of the best. And so when you open your heart to God's voice, the Spirit's voice, he will lead you into truth, into repentance, into a renewed life, into a life of security. Just imagine a lifeguard blowing his whistle to warn someone who is drifting far away into the deep waters, a current. The whistle is a call to return, come back. And similarly, the Spirit's voice is a wake-up call to return to Christ before it's too late. Return to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, before it's too late. So are you listening to what the Spirit is saying to you today? Jesus, he's calling you to respond to his word with urgency, with obedience. John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep knows my voice." And when you have a relationship with Jesus, you will know his voice, and he will be able to lead you and guide you and bring you into safety, into his presence, away from the predators, away from the attackers, away from danger. You are secured. You're safe. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 8 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." No. If you hear his voice, accept it. Let him transform you. Let him guide you. Let him bless you and protect you, for it is good. So, lesson is to be attentive to the Spirit. Spend time in prayer and in the Spirit, asking God to speak to your heart. Lord, I offer my heart to you, my spirit, my mind, everything, all, every fiber of my being. Lord, it is yours. Speak to me through the word. There is power in your name. There's power in your word. The word, and Jesus is the word. There's power. Act on what you hear from God. Respond to the Spirit's conviction with obedience and faith. And the Spirit will lead you into a life and renewal. So listen and follow him today. So in application, there's four applications. If you didn't understand anything, take note of this. Very important. Number one, be honest about your faith, whether your relationship with Christ is alive or whether it's just a reputation. Be honest whether your faith is truly in a relationship with him daily, that you truly are hunger for him, truly thirst for him, not just to please others, but mainly to please God. We're called to please God first. And then, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add all things unto you. Number two, wake up and act. Respond to Jesus, his call. Strengthen your faith in him and return to him. If you feel far from him, he's calling you into his presence. He's calling you to wake up, to go, follow him, walk in his ways. Number three, to walk in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. To turn away from the enemies, turn away from the temptation, turn away from lust and the flesh, to avoid compromise and live a life that fully honors God, praises God. It's not too late. Today's the day you should do so. And number four, listen carefully to the Spirit. Be attentive to his voice. Follow his leading and his urgency with obedience. And when you do that, will see your life transform. When you do that, you'll see God bless you. God lead you. You'll see your life turn 180. Flip from being in darkness into his marvelous light. From being blind to seeing. From being lost to being found. It's the good news, guys. It's the best. And so, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, really talking about how we are to wake up, to strengthen what remains, and walk in faithfulness in him. This message is both a warning and invitation to renewal, reminding you that faithfulness will lead you towards the best gift of all, eternal life, relationship with him, fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So are you alive in your faith? Or are you just trying to maintain this appearance? Walk in His ways. Be alive. Wake up. Will you respond to Jesus' wake-up call and walk in victory that He promises to you, the faithful? Remember that Jesus, He offers renewal to you who wakes up and returns to Him and walks in His ways daily. Repent and turn to the Lord. And remember that faithfulness in Christ leads to this eternal reward, including intimacy with Him. So will you choose today to wake up, strengthen your faith, and walk as faithful witnesses for Christ, the one who holds the Spirit and the stars? He invites you to walk with Him in purity and victory forever. Say, I am victorious. You gotta say it. Type it. I am victorious. I am victorious. When you are in Christ, you are victorious. When you have Jesus in every season of your life, you go from Jesus to Jesus. Every season, you will go from victory to victory, glory to glory, passion to passion, joy to joy. You go from love to love. You go from a way that is being lost to in His presence. This is the good news, ladies and gentlemen. So turn to Him today. And Wesley, thank you for that. Praise the Lord. So you want to accept Him? Let's pray. Amen. 6-3. Divine Melodies. God is love. Tasha. Brenda. Castro, thank you, saying, I am victorious. Dr. Hazel Bunny, I am victorious by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. And we are victorious in You. And we follow You because You are the ultimate victor. And You are the one that carries us when we are lost, when we're broken, when we are empty, when we're close to dying. Lord, You still carry us. You still carry us when we don't deserve it. You carry the team, and we are on Team Jesus, Team Victory, and we praise You each and every day for that. There's no one like You. Lord, I pray that You would be with my brothers and sisters here. Allow them to draw closer to You. Allow them to strengthen their relationship with You. Allow them to see Your face each and every day, to be on fire for You, not lose that fire, rekindle that fire, and then also to listen to Your promise, to Your words, and to walk in Your ways. Be faithful. Knowing that eternal rewards far outweighs the cost of obedience to You. It far outweighs anything that we can receive in this world. It is Your reward. And so, Lord God, we thank You that we can sing praises to You each and every day, and that we have a way into Your presence because of what You've done on that cross, because of Your sacrifice. Lord God, I thank You for everyone here. Under the sound of my voice, I pray that You give them fresh revelation, fresh strength, fresh energy, fresh ideas, and fresh spirit in order to carry forward Your work, Your kingdom, to build Your kingdom here on earth. We love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Edward, I'm victorious. Amen and amen. Sunflower, good to see you. Malia Weed, good to see you. It's never too late. It's part of being saved. It's part of your story. And you have different seasons, my friend. Amen. Jesus is King. Wesley, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Let's jump into some of our reflections. So first reflection is number one, appearance are deceptive. Found in chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 of Revelation, the church at Sardis had a reputation of being vibrant, but in reality, they were spiritually dead, and the condition is not unique. Churches throughout histories have counted people who were in the form of godliness, but they denied its power. It's easier than you think to become content and appearing godly on the outside while neglecting your relationship with God. What Jesus prescribed as a remedy, as a medicine for this state of complacency, is that He urges you, the church, the individuals, each one of you, to wake up and to desire Him, to realize that you are in a dire situation. He urges you to remember of the good news that you have received and heard from God. And He instructs you to hold fast to the message of God and let it draw you closer to Him each and every day. Amen. And number two, perfectly covered, found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. Despite Sardis' overall spiritual deadness, there remains a faithful remnant, praise the Lord. They are promised that their names will not be blotted out, not be erased from the book of life, as we read in this section. It may seem to say that staying sin-free is what allows us to acknowledge Jesus. But the Bible is clear that nothing we do can give us salvation. And committing a sin does not mean that we suddenly lose our salvation. Rather, if someone has a habit of sinning, it shows what is really inside. It shows that they never truly believed in Christ to begin with. So those who trust in Jesus are clothed in white because they are covered by Christ's own perfection. And those who want to break that sin, break that addiction, you absolutely must repent and turn away from it and delete it and eliminate it and eradicate it out of your life and no longer let it hold you down, no longer let it control your life. Instead, you chase after Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life? I will give you my life. I will offer my life to you. My work, my time, my energy, my treasures, everything I have is yours, Lord God. And I will praise you all the days of my life. There is no one like you. So Lord God, be lifted high. Lord God, be on the throne. Lord God, there is no one like you. So I praise you all the days of my life. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. GNW says, thank you, Jesus. Mia Smiles says, amen. Divine Melody says, amen. Glory to God. Rose Garden says, thank you. Bless your family. Amen. Thank you, Tasha. 636. Amen. Well, this is the word of the Lord. I must prepare for my sermon tomorrow. Tomorrow, I preach on the next passage, which is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 to 13. It's talking about determined obedience. And it seems like a challenging passage. Today's passage seems easier, but hey, I'm going to try to give my best to the congregation and give it to you guys as well. So may God bless you, be with you. If you enjoyed this video, thank you so much for liking and subscribing. It really helps the channel. And if you did not enjoy this video, I promise you guys, I'll do better next time. Take care. Adios. I love you guys. Take care. Bye-bye. Panda out for now. God is good. See you next time.